You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki. I'm in Mound, Minnesota, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, July 11th, episode 3731. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We have a full day planned for you. We have three guests today. Auditor Chantel joins us live from Briarfest going on at the Kentucky Horse Park. They're celebrating their 75th anniversary this year.
Wow.
It's always fun to get a report from there. Auditor Holly does a product review of the Cool Curtain. And we meet Amy Carey, Vice President of Marketing and Innovation at WF Young, talking about how they develop new products and what goes into that. No post-show today, because probably the main show will go a little bit long. But Lisa, thanks for filling in again. Appreciate it. Jamie should be back on Monday if all goes well.
She's having fun, I can tell by her Facebook posts.
She's doing nothing but riding horses all week. She's having a blast. she's having a great time. We did want to mention a recall. We mention these sometimes when they affect the horse world. Well, Ford Motor Company is recalling 850,000 Ford and Lincoln models, which includes some F-150s. That's why I'm bringing it up, because I know a lot of you own those. It's the 2021-2022 F-150. And then there's some Broncos and Explorers and Expeditions and all of those on the list. But you'll just have to check the go. This has been published everywhere. You can check it out. But apparently there's a full fuel pump issue where it loses fuel pressure and causes the truck to stall while you're driving down the road, which isn't good.
No.
That's never a fun thing. So if you have the 2021 and 2022 F-150, you're going to want to check that out. I just wanted to bring that up because I know a lot of us have F-150s. Also, I am so happy to report this, and keep it to ourselves. Don't tell any of the Stacy Westfall people.
No, this is exciting.
I know. Remember we got the report the other day about how our Tevis virtual team was doing, the Horse Radio Network Tevis virtual team. Well, I got it, and we were running second to Stacy. Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer put her miles in today, so she's contributed. We now have 3,747 miles, and Team Westfall has 3,591. We've taken over the lead
by awesome. A couple.
Yeah, so now you can do mileage up until Sunday, and then they have up until the 27th to report it. So we won't know until after the 27th what the final stats were. And I don't know if Stacy Westfall's people are holding out on us, going to put them all in at the end.
That could be bad.
Yeah, but we're winning now. So there, I sent her an email that said, but I don't know, that probably won't help. Stacy's
so Glenn, everybody has to saddle up and stay saddled until the end of Sunday.
Right. Ride a lot this weekend, everybody. I don't think we're done yet. But yeah, so there you go. I'm very excited to report that we're back in the lead. And thank you to all of them, all 30-some of them that are out there putting in the miles.
So what's the prize for the first-place team?
Everybody that gets 100 miles, I think, gets a T-shirt, Jennifer? Do you get a T-shirt and a belt buckle if you hit 100 miles, or is it just a T-shirt?
You can check what you want.
Okay.
You can get a T-shirt or a belt buckle or whatever.
Okay. But yeah, so you get a participation trophy.
And you get bragging rights.
Yes, that's right. That's more important for us. If we can beat Westfall.
Absolutely.
You know, we love Stacy. She was a host on our shows for a long time. So let's do some Daily Winnies.
Thank you.
We have a lot of auditor birthdays today. Emily, Katie, Heather, Hazel, Aaron, and Danielle. Happy birthday to all of you. You gave your Daily Whinny on Wednesday to nurses and all of the people that have been, you know, out there doing the work and especially taking care of your mom. Danielle is one of those nurses. She's a ICU nurse and has been for a long time. But Danielle was kind of my support person all through cancer and all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
She was constantly checking on me. If I had questions about health, I'd ask her and she'd give me answers. So Danielle is one of those people. She's one of those good people, you know.
Absolutely amazing. Yep. Every one of them.
Yep. So thank you to Danielle and all the nurses out there who do the job every day.
So my Daily Whinny goes to my friends, Anna and Gary. Years ago, I don't even know how long ago, Glenn, but they came to a book signing of mine at a bookstore and I met them and we just got talking and got to be friends. And they are, I think it was yesterday, celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So So I just want to recognize that because that's a big thing.
Well, happy anniversary to them.
Absolutely.
So your mom home?
Yes, and it absolutely went pretty smoothly. So, you know, here she is 102 and she needed a little help, but she was able to crawl up into the truck and slide back out and she's been home. And honestly, she's been doing more physically since she's been home than I think she did in
three days
of PT.
Yeah. You're kind of forced to. So
Yeah. So I think this is going to be a really good thing. So it's nice to have her home.
How many times yesterday did she bring up going to the track?
Oh, 87. Yeah. I think we're going tomorrow.
Do me a favor. Bet $4 on the 4-horse and race 4.
Okay.
I always do that every time I go to track. $4 on the 4th horse and race 4.
Okay, I'll report back.
Yeah, let me know. Let me know how much money you lost.
I will. It'll be $4.
All right, we're going to get to our first guest right after we hear from one of our terrific sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products.
Are you seeing any of the following signs of vitamin E deficiency in your horse? Stiff, sore muscles, neurological issues, lack of energy, poorly developed top line, weak immune system. Studies show that vitamin E levels drop when horses don't have enough access to fresh green grass. And this time of year, sometimes the grass is kind of drying up in some places. Elevate Natural Vitamin E can help. A research-proven, powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in a horse's tissues. Elevate comes in 4 formulas, a fast-acting, water-soluble liquid, a maintenance powder for long-term care, a concentrated veterinary formula powder, and a vitamin E and selenium powder. For more information, just go to kppusa.com.
Well, our first guest today is coming to us live from Briarfest in Kentucky at the Kentucky Horse Park. It's our auditor, Chantel.
Well, hey, Chantel, tell us where you are at Briarfest.
Right now, we are in line to meet the Olympic horse tight lines, otherwise known as Fish, and we're going to get our models autographed and take pictures with him.
Mm-hmm. So is he going to autograph them for you?
Yeah, I hope so. I think he'll be great with his mouth and a pen.
Of course. Of course he will. Now, have you been to Briarfest before?
Yes, we came a couple of years ago in 2023 for the first time, my daughter and I. She's 12 this year, so it's pretty fun.
That is amazing. And I'm sure everybody knows what Briarfest is, but it's, you know, it's the celebration of the Briar horse models. And this is the 75th year. I just can't imagine the 75 years. But are they doing anything special for the 75th birthday?
Oh, yes. Actually, yesterday at the Clarion Hotel, they had a 75th birthday bash and they had someone come in and MC and they had a dance and all sorts of fun stuff. So that was last night, and then they are bringing back a bunch of the celebration horses from past Briar Fests, and it is just nonstop demos, and they have some people from Equus Film Festival here this year, too.
Is the place packed with teenage girls?
It's a good mix. We are seeing everything from literally babies in carriers all the way through elderly people on scooters.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, you know, for 75 years, I mean, some people, you know, when they got their first Briar horse, you know, they might be two or three. They started what, Glenn, in 1950?
Yeah, they started in 1950. Do you know what the first horse was they made, Chantel?
If I remember correctly, it was actually that Western horse Clock.
That's right. So that's right. They had gotten F.W. Woolworth Company. We used to be a store for all the younger people.
Woolworth, yeah.
We bought our furniture, our first furniture at Woolworth. They wanted a clock, and they had them make this Western horse for a clock. And apparently the man was, people loved the horse that was on the clock. So that's how they started actually making standalone horses. It wasn't meant to be a standalone horse. It was meant to be part of a clock. And then people liked the horse so much, they started producing them. And that was how that's how Briar got started.
That's so amazing.
And there's actually... They have the tent set up where you can go see the clocks throughout the years. They've got a little museum almost.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And, you know, now it has grown to such an industry because they've got all the Briar add-ons and they've got the saddles and the bridles and the riders and the little barns and all of that. And, you know, I just learned, because of Glenn, the most expensive Briar horse model ever sold in 2022 for $65,000.
Oh my God.
It was $65,000. It was a glossy silver dun Pegasus. And so the Briar people take this really seriously. So are you seeing some really avid people who are just pushing their way into lines and determined to get someplace?
No, everyone's very, very polite. It's very well organized, but we did walk through the silent auction. And let me tell you, there's a silent auction model where the starting bid was like $14,000.
Wow.
For a Briar.
And I was like, just Sophia, don't touch, walk away.
So you have all kinds of booths there too, right?
Oh, yeah. We've seen a few different authors. We actually got some stuff signed by authors. We got to meet one of the authors. I was obsessed with her books when I was in middle school, and I bought every single one in her series. And I tell you what, I did cry when I met her.
Who was it?
Terry Farley. She wrote all of the Phantom Stallion series.
Yes. Yeah. That is great. That is great. So also, what's the food like?
They do have some food trucks here. We haven't been over there yet. We actually brought a cooler, and we've got a cooler in the back of the car with snacks and stuff. But there's like a taco truck. There's a couple of drink areas with like lemonades, snow cones. And then there is actually an adult section where you can go get cocktails and beer.
that's the area where you put up with all of these teenage screaming girls there all weekend. That's where you go when you're hiding.
Yes. I tell you what, with how hot it is, a cold frothy beer would be delicious.
So is it crowded like the other years you were there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually it's not just Briarfest this weekend. They've also got polo matches going on.
Oh,
so
wow.
We might I about flipped my lid when we drove in and I saw the polo ponies. I'm sitting in the car screaming and I'm like, "Oh my God." So we might have to go over there and watch a polo match.
30 years ago when we made our first trip to the Kentucky Horse Park, we lived in Pennsylvania then. We just went down for vacation. It just happened to be the National Polo Championships were playing. So we got to see the National Championships. It was so cool because about 15 minutes before the match started, helicopter after helicopter flew in and was landing, and all these rich people were getting out.
Oh, wow.
To watch the polo match.
Oh,
it was so bizarre.
Wow. We're definitely not dressed for polo, I'll tell you that much.
That's okay. Go watch it.
Go
anyway.
Watch it. It's so fun.
Go watch it. So what's your favorite part of Briarfest?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I just feel like it's such a great combination of horse lovers. There's something for everyone. We got to see the Chincoteague Pony Drill Team this morning. Now we get to meet the Olympic horse Fish and his rider Will. We can go and watch the Cloud documentary. We get to go to some of the other different presentations in the visitor center that are going to be really interesting. There's going to be a writing workshop. There's really something for everyone here. It's so cool.
This is great. And this is held this time of year every year at the Kentucky Horse Park. So if people, you know, are thinking about going, I would go. I've been there several times and it's an amazing event.
It's so cool. And I'm not one that's super into model horses, but there's just such a huge amount of diversity here with things to do that even if you're, my daughter's not into riding or anything, but she is also having an absolute blast.
So you were not in the long, long, 2 hour long line to get the model of the year?
No, that actually came with our tickets, but the lines move so fast.
Yeah. Okay.
I kid you not. I have never been in such a well-organized place. Everything's on QR codes. So you just walk up, they scan your QR code, you take your model and you leave.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah.
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 Well,
that is awesome.
I would. That is awesome. That always has been very well done. Breyer does a good job. I mean, they're a good company.
Yeah.
You know, they
yeah.
have good people.
And they've been doing
it.
This a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
At the same
yep.
spot.
At the
and
same spot.
And they've had people here, too, that I have heard about on Horses in the Morning. And we got to go up to some of the booths. And I was like, hey, I listened to your interview.
Yay. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. We love you out there representing, Chantel. We do.
Oh, of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys, I know you're in line. So you guys have fun. And I hope you and your daughter have a fabulous weekend.
Oh, for sure. We'll make sure to post pictures of fish in the auditor room.
Okay. Sounds good.
Oh, fabulous.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks.
As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can add up quickly, making it hard to keep pace. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can give you the financial peace of mind you're looking for. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs, then pay over time in easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals that accept the card and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics to surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care, subject to credit approval. To learn more, apply at carecredit.com/vetmed. That's carecredit.com/vetmed. Well, coming up next, we're going to head over to Amy Carey. She is Vice President of Marketing and Innovation for WF Young to talk to us about how they come up with new products and what process goes into getting them to the market. I was fascinated by that. So let's find out from a big company like WF Young. Well, hey, Amy, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited. I know Horses in the Morning is such a prolific podcast. And, you know, I kind of have a little bit of like fan stardom here. It's just like, I'm very excited to be part of this. You do all such an amazing job.
Well, we've done it for a long time. That's for sure.
Yes.
So you're up in by, well, I live there twice in Massachusetts. You're up that way, right?
Yeah, we're out in western Massachusetts, just on the other side of Springfield in a little town, East Longmeadow.
Well, we do Equine Affairs show, and Equine Affair, you probably attend it. It's not too far from you.
No, it's the one show we get to go to. We all get to sleep in our own beds at night. We love Equine Affair there in West Springfield.
But you do.
It's the little things.
Now, you were a former eventer too, right?
Yes, I did. I was a former eventer, vented through training level, then got the great opportunity to go to the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. And when I saw what the higher levels of the sport looked like at that level, I said, you know what? That's not for me. So I switched and did a hard right to dressage.
Yeah, jumps get really big at that level.
They do. And I just learned how much fortitude I do or don't have. And we do dressage.
Good for you. Well, today we have you on. You're at WF Young, as I mentioned. And, you know, our listeners and I like talking about new products. You know, I go to WESA twice a year and we try and find all the new products there because, you know, horse people love new products. But, and you guys have about 20 different companies that you own that are partners of yours. And so there's always new products coming on. What I want to find out from you as a product development person and innovation, how do you decide, one, what new products need to be made, and then what's involved in making them?
That is such a great question. The first question of how do we decide, it really helps that we have quite a few people, including myself, that are horse people. So it's super important that you have people who are your consumers that are part of that innovation process. It would be really difficult if people didn't know horses at all. But, you know, many of us have them. And then it's really asking your customers, you know, understanding what they like, what they don't like, what they wish they had. And I think we all know horse people, we're not shy about our opinions. And so we're very lucky.
We've learned that over the years doing this show.
Yeah, they'll tell you. And so for us, I will tell you, our North Star with our absorbing brand of products is to listen to our customers. And we do that in a number of different ways. We do a lot of surveys to our lists, to different lists from different groups. It might be a publication or an organization. We do focus group panels. And then we actually spend a lot of time going into barns with people and seeing what products they use and how they store them and where they put them and how they apply them. So it's a lot of that, just listening to your consumer to really understand what they're interested in. And then we also certainly look at trends and other industries. You know, none of us stop being consumers just because we're buying horse products versus laundry detergent, you know, versus car shopping. A lot of those same behaviors and things we're looking for, information, reviews, something new, something different, really transcends different categories. And so we often look to, you know, trends in health and beauty. You know, what are people using for skincare? What are humans taking for supplements? You know, are there wearable technologies that athletes, you know, are looking at to help their recovery or improve muscle stamina? So we also try to kind of keep our ear to the ground in other places to kind of get inspiration to really just help us put a lot of ideas in this funnel. But I will tell you, we put a lot of ideas at the top and only a few come out at the bottom. So you'd be surprised how many get left on the cutting room floor.
Well, can we do when you have it coming out as kind of a case study of how this works?
Sure.
So you have a brand new product line coming out. It's called Honest to Goodness, which I love that name. So, and it's what? A treat line, right?
It is. It's a horse treat line and something new. We are using upcycled ingredients. And so not everyone is familiar with that.
Yeah.
So upcycled, particularly in our Honest to Goodness upcycled horse treats, we have an apple recipe and a banana recipe. So these apples and bananas are fruits that are perfectly nutritious and delicious, but they might be a little bit dinged up, banged up. You know, we all go to the grocery store and we like go to the produce section, we're like, look at that apple. And you're like, no, not that one. We're buying the apples that people are like, no, not that one. And, you know, instead of, you know, those products going to waste, we're using them and repurposing them. You know, again, they're perfectly healthy, nutritious, delicious, but they might have a bruise. They might be a little bit more browned for the bananas. They might have been overproduced. So we're taking all of those really great products and we're using them in these horse treats.
But was that really a decision, you know, talking about the business side of this, was that a decision you guys made when you said, when that committee that was assigned to make a horse treat, when they all sat around, was that intentional?
It was. We were, again, looking at kind of matters to our consumers. And again, for all of us as consumers, we like brands that care about the things that we care about. We have a lot of horse people. We do a lot of sustainability with our company. I'm sitting in a building that's powered by the solar panels on the roof. It has water collection in place. But we have a lot of consumers who care about sustainability. And that includes things like food waste. You know, if you're horse people, you know, we don't like to waste anything. We like to get every penny of every value out of every product. So this idea about sustainability and reducing food waste was something that was important to our consumers, important to us. And so to be able to make a product that really addressed both of those needs and wants of consumers really helped drive our decisions to use those upcycled ingredients and make a very healthy, delicious, limited ingredient product. But again, just really knowing what our customers care about.
See, I just want to stand up and applaud because I'm all about that. And I think, as you said, a lot of consumers are and a lot of horse people are. And I would totally buy a product just because of that over the competition. So thank you.
Yeah. And just other things like, you know, we're using 30% post-recycled plastic in the package. We all understand, you know, like we have a plastic issue in our country and around the world. So being able to use plastic that has already been, you know, reused and recycled, that's something that's important to us as well. So as we develop products, particularly for our company, we're trying to make sure that we're keeping as light of a hoofprint as we can and using recycled plastics, you know, upcycled ingredients, ethically sourced, sustainably sourced ingredients is really important because it matters to our consumers. And again, we're horse people. We all know that this big green rock we all live on, horses require a lot of land. You know, we're trying to protect that for everyone. And so wherever we can, building those options into our products is really important to us.
Please, please, please tell me they're shaped like little apples and bananas.
Better. They're shaped like little hearts because okay. We all love our horses. But it's a great question too. It's like that matters to people. We do a lot of product testing. Our process is we start, like I said, with a lot of ideas at the top. And you might think, like, we all think we're pretty brilliant about what we come up with. And consumers submit ideas to us. Retail partners submit ideas. We have what we call a stage gate process to develop our product. So it has 5 stages, or those stages, really think about those as work periods. And then 5 gates. So they're gate meetings where we decide that project is moving forward or no, it's not. And that process, as you go along in those stages and gates, there are a lot of projects that unfortunately, sometimes we're ahead of our time. We have an idea and we just don't know how to make it. There just isn't the technology to make it the way we want. Or more often than not, it's too expensive at the time, you know, so we just don't have the efficiency needed. You know, there's always a price point as consumers. We're willing to pay for some things, and you kind of breach that price point and the market becomes much smaller. So that stage gate process, we're always looking at the voice of our retailers, the voice of our consumers. You know, can we make money at it without charging people an exorbitant price? Can we package it? Can we make the thing the way we want? And if the answer is no, we have what we call a vault. And the idea kind of goes in the vaults, and we say, listen, it's not ready yet, but maybe there's something there. But if it's, you know, something that we think is going to work, we kind of keep working the process and working our stages and getting our gate approvals to go from consumer testing. We make prototypes, we test the prototypes, we make, you know, in this case for our honest to goodness upcycled horse treats, I think we had 3 different formulas. Like the first ones, I will tell you, when we came out, we're like, don't smell as good as we wanted them to.
Do you have a focus group of horses then that tastes them and then spits them out?
We do.
And goes, oh, I didn't like that at all.
And you know what? And this is really, we have video of all of them. And you start to get really good at actually reading horse faces. Now, listen, they're like people. There's some who are like, they'll eat anything.
Yeah.
That's really important. And then we have some horses that are like really just suspect. And they're like, oh, I don't know what that is. And then what we really learned is most horses will take one treat. And then what you learn is if they like it or not is when you give them a second one.
That's true.
So yeah, we have a field test of horses and we record their faces. We write down the descriptions.
But that is true. Once a horse gets it in the mouth, even if they don't like it, they're going to go, I'm going to eat it now. But they're not going to do it a second time. You're right.
They're not going to do it a second time. Yeah. And if you're my horse,
it's here, I'm going to eat it.
That one makes faces.
Yeah.
Some will spit it out. Get to test?
Yeah, my horse Liam is, he's a very good tester, you know, and particularly when it comes to healthy treats, because I'm not going to lie and I'm going to take some shade for this. His favorite treats are Pop-Tarts. So when I was like, you know, taking him and be like, this is a treat that only has 9 ingredients. There's no added, you know, corn, sugar. There's no soy. There's
sugar.
So I was like, this is a healthy treat. I'm like, I don't know how this competes with Pop-Tarts. So he was a good test and that he loved them. But we did make 3 changes to those formulas. You know, it rarely works out, unfortunately, that your first test of something goes the way you planned. So we made changes to the formula. You know, we wanted it to be better. So it takes time. And that's the other challenge with product development. Surprisingly, it doesn't happen fast. These horse treats were 2 years in development, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, it takes
for a horse treat.
It takes for a horse treat.
You know, if you were working at Disney, you would be an Imagineer. That would be
what I like that.
Yeah, that's, and they have a saying over at Disney that ideas never die at Disney. So they also have vaults.
Yes.
Because ideas never die.
Yeah. We've actually learned. So the group that helped us with our development process is called StageGate International, and they worked with the team that developed like Swiffer's. And Swiffer was an idea that someone had and it went in their vault for years. Like, this is the Swiffer that we probably all use. It didn't get the light of day right away. And so sometimes like it's just not ready and things take time. But yeah, our horse treats were 2 years to get, you know, the right consistency. You think something like a biscuit.
Yeah.
Yep. It can be too hard. It can be too soft. You don't want to get a package like we all hate that with our potato chips, right? Like you get a bag and they're all broken at the bottom. And so this idea of like the horse treats have to have a certain durability because they get shipped around by the time they go from, you know, the end of the manufacturing line. These are made in Pennsylvania You know, so where they go from the end of the manufacturing line, you know, to your retailer, to your house, like you don't want them to be crumbs. So making sure we had, you know, the right texture, the right durability, the right scent, the right flavor, the right packaging takes time.
Well, where can, are they available yet?
They are just starting to hit the shelves now. Okay. So they are rolling out. You can find them in some select retailers and online as well. But they will be rolling out certainly much more widely in the next month or so here.
And is there a website or something where people can find them?
Yeah. So absorbing.com. They can find all of their information for our Honest to Goodness Horse Treats right at absorbing.com.
All right. Good. Well, this has been fun. It's always fun. I love the business side of all of this. So, Amy, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Amy from WF Young and absorbing.com. And the treats are called Honest to Goodness. I have to try them and see. My pony will eat anything, though. So, I mean, he'll like them for sure.
Perfect.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbing to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Well, we have one of our terrific auditors named Holly on with us, and she's doing one of our product reviews thanks to State Line Tack. And Holly, where are you located again?
I'm in Northeast Texas in Mount Pleasant.
And it's nice and cool there today?
No. I wish.
Yeah, you guys have been getting the heat and the rain this year where you're dry a lot of years. So.
Yeah, we're usually drying up by now, but not this year.
So now you got what's called the cool curtain. And actually, I'm so excited to talk to you because we gave these away last year, I remember, on really bad ads. But I never have talked to somebody who actually used them. So what kind of stall door do you have?
Well, my stall doors are actually Dutch, but they stay just open 98% of the time. So I don't really use them as a Dutch door.
Okay. So kind of describe what a cool curtain is and how it works into the door.
Yeah, so the best way I could describe it is almost like the fly mask material, like not the cheap Lycra ones, but like the sturdier fly masks.
Mm-hmm.
But a really good quality, if that makes sense. Like they're not thin, they're not flimsy, they're pretty sturdy.
And this is a screen that you put on your door, and yours go from all the way up to the floor, right? And how are they attached?
Yeah, they go from right above the door frame, about 4 inches above the door frame, and then they end about 3 or 4 inches up above the ground. And our frames are metal, and we just put a screw right into the metal, and they've got grommets on them, and we just went right through into the grommet and put them up. It was pretty easy.
What makes these different than some of the others, the other kind of screens that you see at Amazon and stuff, is that these look really dark from the outside, but then you sent me the picture from the inside looking out, and it's like there's nothing there.
Yeah, they've got a lot of visibility. And when the lights are on in the barn and it's dark outside, it's the same thing. Like, you can see right in. Like, it doesn't really feel like the horse is walking into a wall. Like, they can very definitely see through it.
And it lets a lot of light through, so your stall's not all dark.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Because when I looked at the picture of the outside looking in, I was like, well, it's going to be so dark, and that stall will be like the door shut. But it wasn't that way at all.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I like them. We had a little bit of an issue when we were putting them. So that it has grommets that are put into it, and those are probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 inches apart. And since you use two panels for one stall, we just thought, okay, well, we'll overlap, you know, the grommets, that first section. Well, it's too big of a overlap. Like, it's kind of hard to push through if you do that.
Mm.
So then I went online and I pulled up, they have like a instruction manual to install them, and they recommend a 4 to 5 inch overlap. Okay. So we went back to do that, but it was hard to figure out the right way to do it because I didn't want to put a screw through the material.
Right.
So what we kind of did is we just kind of had to pull the edge one down. And so at the top, it's not quite straight, which isn't a big deal. But I just wish that they had put the put some of the grommets closer together, maybe, so you had more options for how you wanted to put them up.
And they're only connected at the top, so you walk through them, right? Is that basically how it works?
Yep. Okay. Yep, you just walk through the middle of them.
And the horses don't, they had a little issue at the beginning, and then...
Yeah, my mare took maybe 3 or 4 days, and now she just pushes her head right through. She kind of she likes to kind of flip it with her nose and then go through. But the way we did it, if you look on the picture, the partition is kind of not dead center. It's off to the side a little. So for the first few days, I tied up the big side, so she had the big opening to walk through. And then I dropped that one and I tied up the small side. So she had to go through the small one. And it only took her a day like that. And then she was like, oh, I got it. And she would just go through no problem.
They're smarter than we give them credit for a lot of times.
They are. And if you've got a horse that's maybe been exposed to like a bunch of like those like cowboy curtains that yes. they do on like the trail stuff, they probably would have, you know, very little problem. She's never seen anything like that. So it did take her a little bit to get over the feeling of the stuff brushing her sides.
Lisa, I just put the pictures in. So
I am looking at this. This is amazing. I mean, you're right. The inside out, because I was worried that it would be too dark in the stall. But holy cow, that's awesome.
It's like weird.
Yeah.
They're
very visible.
Do you find it keeps the stall cooler? That's their big advertisement, right? Is it keeps the stall cooler?
Yeah. I don't know, because I have that other stall door that's open right there next to it.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but I did tell my husband that we're going to save some pennies and I want to put him on the whole barn.
Oh, really? Wow. But, well, that's an endorsement right there.
It is.
Yeah. I really like them. They hang really well. Like they come rolled up and they tell you don't fold them, just roll them. And, you know, within 30 minutes of being unrolled in the heat, they straightened right out. They feel great. The horses are acclimating really well. And I can really see that there would be a benefit to put them around the barn. And then we would really have, not only for the cooling, because we do run a portacool in the barn, but also just for the bugs.
So it definitely helps with that?
Yeah, I do think so.
Well, this is cool. I'm glad to finally talk to somebody that's used them, because as I said, we've been talking about them here for a little while and I didn't know anybody. And the nice part is they can make them for any size door. Basically, you tell them what you need and they make it. So if you wanted to put it, if you had Dutch doors like you do, but you keep the bottom door shut, you can just get them for the top part. So you can get them any which way you want. I have colors too, I think. Different colors that you can get.
Yeah, I saw that they do. I just chose to do the black because I wasn't sure. You know, I figured, well, and for trying it too, I was like, the black in theory would be the hardest to see through.
Right.
So, and like I said, there's no problem at all with visibility through them.
Well, we appreciate you doing this. It's Cool Curtains, KOOLKURTAINS. And it's coolcurtains.com is where you can find them. Amy or Holly, we appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Y'all have a great weekend.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week when we do some really bad ads. Listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook, and we have a little bit of fun with them. We also give away prizes every month. And the following products are provided by HorseLoversWithAZ.com, home to over 120,000 products for your barn, your horse, and you. Check them out at HorseLoversWithAZ.com. We're going to be giving away several prizes, like 8 or 9 of them this month. We have a Shire's nylon halter with leather head strap, your choice of size and color. And they are valued at, I think it's like $50 for that. So
cool.
Plus, we're going to give away 2 of the stud muffin packages, and they include 3 45-ounce bags of stud muffins, including the original stud muffin slims, and stud muffins peppermint. Everybody's favorite treats. We're going to be giving those away. And I really like that they came out with the lower sugar version, the stud muffin slims.
Yes.
So if you have a fatty like my pony, that's the one to take a look at there. stud muffins. It's studmuffinshorsetreats.com, but that's a $72 value for each of those packages. We're giving away two of them. And then I have five books, The Honest to Goodness Truth About Horse Trailers by Brad Heath. I'm going to be sending those out to five lucky winners. And Brad's actually going to be on the show next week talking about summer maintenance for your trailers. That'll be on the Equine Affair episode. But I have these books are terrific, and I have five of them to send out to winners. So we have eight winners this month. All right, we won't have time to get to all of them today. Katie, Amanda, and Veronica, we got your submissions. You're in for the prizes, but we just don't have time for everybody. Now, Loreen finally got back on the ball. Thank you, Loreen. We appreciate it. We always love to see your ads come in because she reads them for us.
Good morning. It's Loreen Barden. I'm going to read a really bad ad. And this is a Craigslist ad for QH Stud Colt $1,500. There's no punctuation, so I'm going to read it straight through. Tex is a 2-year-old great stud colt. He's around 15 hands now and will be a big boy when he's done growing. He leads, ties, loads, dose well with fly spray, will pick up all four hoofs, gets along with other horses and farm animals. I'm asking $1,500 for him, or would consider trades for the right horse. So apparently this is the wrong horse. Don't buy this horse. It's the wrong horse. Thanks for listening. Bye.
She did well with her read. She always does.
She always does. And she's always in the truck when she's doing it. And yep. we did find out it's usually her daughter driving. She doesn't read these while she's driving.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Good to know.
We have asked her that before. Olivia sent this one in. It's a broke quarter horse mare for $1,200. Now, let me read the description. Then I'm going to have Lisa tell you what the picture is. So this is broke quarter horse mare for $1,200. Age from 2 weeks to 10 months. Size from mini to almost standard. One bull and one heifer.
And the photo is of a black Angus, looks like a heifer.
It's a cow. How it got it's the title broke quarter horse mare, I don't know.
It's a cow, and it's in the woods.
Maybe it's a quarter cow. Maybe that's what they
mean. It looks like a quarter cow. Yeah. Absolutely. You nailed it, Glenn. You nailed it. Yeah.
Well, for $1,200, you can have a cow. You can ride like a quarter horse, apparently.
There you go.
There you go.
So Janelle sent in this next one. English Tack Exchange. Where are our adorable pint-sized riders? She probably has pigtails and rides better than all of us adult Ammies put together. Example photo included. I'm not seeing a photo.
I didn't
yet.
Either. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No kiddo. How about a new keychain? At just 15 inches, it's perfect to hang on the tack room key so that your boarders or barn help quit putting it in their pocket and forgetting. Pony rider moms, we all know our kids get the best tack while we ride bareback. With this darling pony, Princess Rider can have the best and you can still afford a saddle for yourself too. Don't miss out. Beautifully maintained by me, a county rep who indeed has a pony rider that rides better than me. She also insists on growing. 0 out of 10. Do not recommend.
What are they selling?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But we're not done yet. I don't know. Glenn, we're not done yet, though.
Oh, okay. I'm so confused.
I know, me too. So the specs, 2017, 15-inch solution HJM in the chestnut bull can be sold with matching 44-inch girth and leathers. Pony and kid not included. Pony is expensive. You don't want him anyway. Kid, well, she's pretty cool and can finally feed the horses and do chores on her own, so I'd like to keep her. $2,300 or make an offer.
Here's the perfect example.
I am so confused.
Here's the perfect example of trying to make the ad cute and totally just messing it up because you have...
I
thought they were selling a keychain at first, and then apparently it's a saddle. I don't know.
I guess, but yeah.
I don't know. You were too cutesy on that one. If you're going to make it cutesy, it has to make sense.
It has to make sense. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Christy, well, that's why it's a bad ad. That's why it's here. Christy sent this one in. Renegade Paul's Rescue Post. Oh, these guys have some good ones. Ever wanted to adopt a sentient middle finger wrapped in a cloud of fur? Meet Igor. We have reason to believe he's a cursed Victorian child masquerading as a 10-pound stuffed animal. He was not born, he appeared. No one remembers how or when. He materializes in doorways and stares at all comers. He knows exactly what you did. This dog does not want to go to the dog park or to brunch. He wants your ex-boyfriend's head on a platter. And you do too. And that mean girl in high school who said you were ugly, he's putting her soul through the meat grinder. Igor wants you. He'll plan evil schemes with a dog sibling or two, but he doesn't want way too many friends, and he might need an exorcism if you bring in the nice golden retriever from down the street for a play date. A lot of golden fur everywhere is my guess.
Yes.
We tried training and he made the trainer cry. We tried treats and he gobbled them up and then suffocated the house with the chemical warfare that came out of his rump. Igor is only satisfied when he's cursed the bloodline of your enemies and sent a plague to ruin their crops. Igor is not a good boy. Igor is an experience. He will allow you to live in his home if you agree to worship him like the tiny furious deity he is. His adoption requirements include at least one human who finds small, emotionally stunted men intriguing. If that's you, apply to enter into a legally binding relationship with a fluff-coated poltergeist today.
Oh, but Glenn, he's so cute.
Oh, in an evil sort of way. That look he has is kind of got evil written all over it.
He looks like maybe he's like a Chihuahua Jack Russell cross or something like that, or maybe a little, I don't know, something else in there. But, oh, he is cute. He is cute. I want to meet him.
Well, before we get to the next ad, Lisa, I have an update.
Okay.
I just got an email back from Stacy Westfall. I really did email her.
You're going to start a war here, Glenn.
She said, it's going to be a race to the finish with about 85 exclamation points.
Oh, my goodness. You know, so I think you're right. I think they're playing the sneaky game and not going to post their hours until or their miles.
I think they're
until
doing it like an auction where they just wait till the end.
Yes. Yes. So everybody has to get on their horse and ride forever.
Now I regret Now I regret sending her the email.
Yes, because now they're on alert.
That's right. I need to get her on the show next week.
You do. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh my goodness. Okay.
All right, where are we at?
Okay, we're at this one is for you, Glenn. It's horse items for sale. It looks like in Vermont, New Hampshire. It says free, easy entry pony cart. The tires are flat and the back support is bent. I think it could be easily fixed. It was a little big for our 12-hand pony, has always been stored inside except for this last winter.
Yeah, and I think Glenn, that's a lie.
Yeah. Glenn, you tell them about the picture.
It's in the woods and it's buried about a foot deep in leaves. You can't even see the bottom of the cart.
Up to the hubcaps.
Yeah. I'm sure the tires are flat and the seat has disintegrated. You're not going to be sitting on the seat anymore.
No.
And it's easy entry because you can't even tell if it has a floor. So
no, it's covered with leaves.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
You would think if somebody's going to try to sell something, that they would clean it up a little bit or move it where people, you know.
Leaf blower out and at least blow the leaves off.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. But it's free.
Yeah.
It's free.
Well, yeah, that's the right price, I guess.
Yeah.
Patty sent this one in. It's our trailer of the month. Oh, God. It's our typical round-fronted two-horse rust bucket of a trailer, and I mean rust. It's rust from top to bottom.
But it's got front that nice orange yellow stripe in front. Kind of reminds me of Charlie Brown.
It does. It doesn't have a jack. That's also, they always seem to be sitting on a tire.
Yeah.
Because they don't have jacks. All right.
Yeah.
Winning race trailer. Oh, $100. Single stall horse trailer, perfect for local fair trailer races. It's old, it's rusty, it's heavy. With its trendy Resto Rust paint scheme, you'll be the contender for crowd favorite. No need to add spray paint or props from the local dollar store. A whopping 1,700-pound inertia and momentum will be your secret weapons. Yep, even if you say those words out loud in the pits, I guarantee that nobody will have any idea what you're talking about. No need to worry about trailer demo derby espionage among your beer-fueled off-volunteer crew. Not roadworthy, but just full of trailer demo derby potential and old barbed wire. Have you ever been to one of these races?
I have.
Oh,
I have.
My God.
They're actually a lot of fun.
Oh, it's so much fun to watch those trailers get disintegrated. I hate to be the cleanup crew after that race. Because
No. But this is true. And, you know, this guy or woman seems to know what they have, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep, they know what they have is junk and it should be destroyed in a race.
Yes.
Because they pretty much are destroyed.
Yes, yeah, for
and
sure.
He's right. Heavier's better for that. So
might be
an advantage, old steel horse trailer.
It's only $100, so it's certainly worth it.
I want to go drive it now.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that would be fun.
That's one of my favorite races. That and the buses. The bus races, the figure eight bus races, where they end up disintegrating them, too.
I have only seen those on YouTube. I haven't seen those in person.
Yeah, so much fun. We have a racetrack here that does all that stuff, of course, Redneck, Florida. We have a racetrack. You probably have them, too, up there in Tennessee.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do at the county fairs. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. So Katie sent in the next one. This is Big Ed. Big Ed is the definition of Stockholm syndrome when it comes to kids. Big usually stands at the gate, happy to sacrifice himself to the tiny humans. He's had more layers of finger paint than a Jackson Pollock. He's not quick. I once saw a toddler outrun him. Big Ed doesn't mind if he's accidentally stuck in the middle of a water balloon fight. He will play red light, green light all day long. Even the tiniest hands can steer him in a snaffle. For overly active tiny hands, we just use a halter. Big Ed's 100% drama-free in every way. He knows the kid pony life is way better than pulling a cart up a hill both ways every day.
That is a picture of a cute little black pony with a little kid.
Yes, yes. Doesn't say how much they want for him, though.
$12,000, because where do you find a Big Ed?
I mean, you don't.
You kill for those kind of ponies in the therapeutic riding program.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's kind of cute.
He is kind of cute. He's all black, though. There's no white on that horse.
No. Well, you can't see the front of his face. Yeah. Maybe he has a star or something, but he's black.
Ginger sent this one in. By the way, a lot of these sound like they're getting help from AI now to write these ads.
Yes.
Yeah. Ginger sent this one in. This is Rooster, formerly known as,
I think it's Figaro.
Figaro.
Yeah.
This is Rooster, formerly known as Figaro. 2-year-old grade stud, 14-1 hands. I thought I bought a gelding 18 months ago, but then his voice changed, and I renamed him Rooster. Shortly thereafter, while grooming Rooster, a.k.a. Figaro, I realized that my Spanish is way worse than I thought. Padre for father isn't species-specific, apparently, and I don't really want a stud, $1,500.
Okay.
There's a theme today.
Did I lose something?
I don't understand any of these. That's
did I lose? I'm glad you don't understand it either, because
I thought we were selling a rooster, and then it turned out to be a horse.
And then we're speaking Spanish.
I don't know what they were talking about with, I don't know. These ads are so confusing today. That's our theme.
And we don't have a photo, so.
I want to see a horse rooster. That's what I want to see.
There we go. There we go. And you could do that with
AI.
Yeah, that would be a little disturbing.
Yeah.
Sabrina sent in this next one. Arabian horses. For sale, 12-year-old Arabian gelding. Not broke, has been saddles. Has had a bridle. Unload stands for the farrier, baths, and clips. Very easy to handle. Awesome personality. Goodness style. Likes to have a mare with him out in the pasture. PM me to chat if interested. Located in Florence, Montana. $3,500.
Goodness style? What's goodness style?
I don't know. We're missing out on something here, Glenn.
Maybe it's us today. Maybe. By the way, it was a gilding. We've had so many gildings. That's the most misspelled word we've ever had on this show.
Gilding. Yeah. And so here's a 12-year-old gilding, not broke, and he wants $3,500 for him.
And he likes mares.
And he likes mares. So, yeah. He does look kind of docile, though.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he has a great big clunky face for an Arab, I think.
He does. Yeah, I'm thinking this maybe isn't a full Arab.
No, that's what I'm kind
of
thinking.
He's got pretty big bones, too.
Yeah, a little draft horse in there somewhere.
Maybe.
Angel sent this one in. This is Gunner. Gunner wants to be a dressage horse. Gunner has an amazing walk. He's got like 5 different trots and several different canters. Gunner has his own ideas on which trots and canters he uses and when. Not in a Winnie the Pooh idea way, but more in a SpongeBob idea way. I don't get it. Gunner needs a human who can help him channel his inner Pooh Bear. There are too many AI ads anymore.
Yeah.
If you're the Christopher Robin mindset, drop us a poo stick. Gunner may decide you can be first under the bridge. Oh, my God. We are trying way too hard today.
I don't know. I just don't know.
Okay. But if you're going to get AI to write the ads, at least make them that they make sense.
We want them to make sense. Yes. Proofread, people. Yes. Proofread.
The only thing I understood about that ad is Gunner wants to be a dressage horse, and apparently the owner does not. So that's the only thing I got out of that.
That's the only thing, yeah.
I don't know where the other stuff came in. I have no idea. That was the last one, and that's good because my head hurts. That was tough. That was really tough. Well,
that
Lisa,
was tough. Those are some good ads.
Yes, thank you for submitting them. If you're going to submit ads, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and you too will be entered for the drawings and can help us make Fridays funny. Jamie will be back hopefully on Monday. We'll have a full week of shows for you next week. Thank you, Lisa, so much for filling in. Where can people find you and your books?
I'm just at lisawysocki.com or amazon.com. Just type in the name. Yeah. Thank you, Glenn.
Very good. And we're going to leave you with this today, my meme of the day. I saw this morning and thought this is a good one to end on. Between Saving Private Ryan, $70 million, Interstellar, $165 million, and The Martian, $108 million, America has spent nearly $350 million trying to rescue Matt Damon.